This is a hell of a betrayal of the American people when you will not tell them the truth because you're afraid that if you tell the truth, your bosses will take your job from you.
Good afternoon on this Tuesday afternoon. Local 304 and particularly my branch, Columbus, Ohio. Today's podcast is going to talk about Section 514, Leave Without Pay, out of the Employees' Labor Manual, Issue 46, if you're following along. Now, you might ask yourself, well, why are we talking about the ELM? Well, we're talking about the ELM today just so I continue to keep you aware that you have to be real careful of the words coming out of our plant manager's mouth. And what I mean by that is he's already demonstrated to me that all rules and regulations are just not important to him. He's already demonstrated to me that because it's a do as I say, not as I do type of leadership style. He's already demonstrated to me that he has the local 304 president and he kind of runs our union. So with that being said, when he gave his town hall speech about how he's going to force you to use all your annual and sick before he allows leave without pay, I have to say that statement is only made with in such a confident manner because he is certain no one's going to fact check or research some of the things that he says he's going to do. Well, let's talk about leave without pay, and let me demonstrate to you out of the Employee Labor Manual that he cannot do what it is that he's threatening to do. Okay, let's talk leave without pay, Section 514. The essential features. The following definition applies for the purpose of 514. Leave without pay is an authorized absence from duty in a non-pay status. Leave without pay may be granted upon the employee's request and covers only those hours that the employee would normally work or for which the employee would normally be paid. FLSA exempt employees must take LWOP in one-day increments except when they are taking leave protected under the FMLA. Leave without pay is different from AWOL, which is a non-pay status due to determination that no kind of leave can be granted either because the employee did not obtain advance authorization or the employee's request for leave was denied. Now, if you go down to 514.21, restrictions. Leave without pay in excess of 2 years is not approved unless specifically provided for in postal policies or regulations. Section 22 talks about administrative discretion. Each request for leave without pay is examined closely, and a decision is made based on the needs of the employee, the needs of the postal service, and the cost to the postal service. The granting of leave without pay is a matter of administrative discretion and is not granted on the employee's demand, except as provided in collective bargaining agreements or as follows. You know, so just real quick, our plant manager, one minute you want to be the cheerleader for all new committees as you try to excite or get employees excited about their job, and in the next minute you're stating actions that you're going to take on employees that you are not legally authorized to take. Just don't know if we're going or coming sometime. And on a side note, another bit of important information employees should understand when it comes to leave without pay. I'll get right back to the plant manager in 1 second. But something you should understand is employees who are on leave without pay for a period or periods totaling 80 hours during a leave year will have their leave credits reduced by the amount of leave earned in one pay period. So again, if you do use a lot of leave without pay over 80, once you hit 80 hours, it's going to start to affect your leave in the coming year. But now let me tell you something. Getting back to the main topic where in a town hall meeting we were advised, if you have leave and you request leave without pay, that and supervisors are being instructed to use what leave you have before they authorize or before they deny leave without pay. And I'm simply trying to tell you that is not postal policy. The post office says there are acceptable reasons that you might want to request leave without pay. And some of those reasons are, they can be personal reasons. Employee has no leave to cover vacation during choice vacation periods. Leave without pay may be granted. Now, again, I'm reading to you out of the Elm because I distinctly remember him saying that that would not take place. Now, again, it says it may be granted. But if you're this team builder, one would think that that would be something more in line that you would want to give to employees as opposed to take away from employees. Full-time attendance at a college or university, you can request leave without pay. Personal illness or injury. Now, and let me tell you something. When we get down to personal injury or illness, I'm going to read to you. Employees may utilize annual leave or sick leave in conjunction with leave without pay, subject to approval of the leave in accordance with normal leave approval procedures. An employee need not exhaust annual leave and or sick leave before requesting leave without pay. And again, that's verbatim out of the Elm. So when you hear that you can't do that or supervisors are going to be instructed to take your annual or sick when you request leave without pay, just know that that's a violation of the Elm. And if you are an employee that requested leave without pay and they took annual or sick, I would definitely recommend you talk to a union steward to see what may be done to right that wrong. Columbus, Ohio on Local 304. Don't allow people to razzle-dazzle you with impressive speeches. Listen to what's being said, understand what's being said, and then draw an opinion. And the reason I say that is we have, you know, what, two or three town hall meetings, something that we're not used to, so it's different. But when you sit back and look at it, for what happens at a town hall meeting, it's probably better if we didn't have them anymore. That's just my opinion. Now, the reference I use for today's podcast, again, is the Elm, Section 514. I don't even ask that you accept what it is I'm saying. What I really would like you to do is download Section 514 and read it. Again, you are going to be amazed at how much the post office does wrong when you really understand what they were supposed to do right. So again, download Section 514, read it, make yourself aware so when you speak about it, you're not speaking about it based on what I've said, you're speaking about it based on what you've read. And as promised, here's my two or three minutes that I'm going to dedicate to level four mail handlers who arbitrarily get on pit equipment and do the job of level five. If you're not getting paid higher level, if you're not getting paid higher level, come on, level fours, you have to stop that. You have to stop that. You are seriously hampering the collection of good data. And I mean that very serious, because if you're a level four driver, and again, you know who you are, what you do, you know how much work you really do as a level five. Now, again, you may have other reasons for why you do what you do, but I'm just simply saying to you, as a mail handler craft, that's something that we need to cease and desist, like immediately, and then let the post office get a proper look at the staff that's needed there. And again, I'm hoping that if all the level fours stop driving arbitrarily, that we may be able to get three or four more level five jobs, even though I understand that the AGVs are coming. Trust me when I say, I know that statement might sound a little contradictory, but if level four drivers would stop driving arbitrarily, again, if you're not getting paid higher level, the post office is going to see that even in view of reducing mail handler jobs, I still think that we can come out pretty even on this. And what I mean by that is I'm not trying to give you an abracadabra. With automation, automatically comes reduced manual labor. Let's not kid ourselves. But we can control the reduction. It's going to happen. The reduction is inevitable, but we can control it if we operate in a little smarter manner. And just another point is I understand that this morning there was an accident involving a forklift driver and one of our mail contractors. All accidents are unfortunate, but again, these level fours driving unauthorized, if that should happen to you, do not become upset at the Postal Service when they say you contributed to that accident. I know it might sound cold and it might sound callous, but that's what you're doing, and they're not going to take that liability. Now, as long as you're doing it, you're moving that mail unauthorized and everything is fine, then they'll turn a blind eye. But if something should happen, then understand that they're going to hold you accountable. And I have to ask you, if you understand if there's an accident and you're driving unauthorized, that they're going to blame you, why would you put yourself in that predicament? And that's what I have to say about that today. And listen, with respect to receiving incorrect information from the plant manager to level fours driving unauthorized, I want to say that your current local president is not built to handle this type of union activity. And I don't mean that as any disrespect. I don't think he's about this kind of life that's needed to lead this local right now with the upcoming changes, the fast-paced changes. I think he's probably a lot more comfortable just going to meetings, et cetera, making, you know, pass-through visits through offices. But I want you to know, with Kenneth Hodge as your president, those pass-through visits will probably last about 2 to 3 days. When I come to your office to visit, it's not a hello visit. It's a let me see what kind of work you're doing. Where do you need help? What is it that I can do that's going to help you have a stronger branch? See, that's what my message will be. And last note is I ask those of you who are in touch with the Creator that whatever manner it is that you speak to that spirit, I ask that you speak kind words for Sister Patty Hawkins and Sister Kiki. I call her Kiki so long, Kenyana. Yeah, they are in a little bit of a medical situation. And again, if you could speak to the Creator on their behalf, I would be very appreciative, and I'm sure they would also. This is Ken Hodge. Have a great Tuesday.